Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, episode 144. Today we're reading chapter 36 of the novel and family drama Just Won't Stop book 3 by Daniel White III with his wife Marika White. Surely every man walketh in a vain show, surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. Psalm 39:6-7. Jonathan, Monica, and the children pulled out after Wednesday night prayer meeting, heading for Texas for Leah and Anthony's wedding. They spent all day Thursday and Friday visiting friends and rehearsing for the wedding. Monica was her sister's maid of honor. While they were rehearsing on Thursday afternoon, Jonathan's father had a serious talk with him. "Son, you're going off course. Now you know that nowhere in the Bible does it teach that you have to speak in tongues to be saved, or even as evidence of your salvation. Did you speak in tongues when you asked Jesus to save you?" "No, sir," Jonathan said. "It is said plainly in the Bible, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith.'" "Dad, I'm not saying you have to speak in tongues to get saved. I'm saying after you get saved, you ought to speak in tongues." "That's a bunch of bull, and you know that," Brother Reynolds said. "Do you have Bible to back that statement up? I have never spoken in tongues, and I have no desire to speak in tongues. And guess what? I'm saved and on my way to heaven. You believe you're going to heaven, don't you?" "Yes, Dad." "I don't know if you know this, but Pastor Richardson's health is failing, and he'll be leaving us soon. Anyway, he shared with us more than once that he believes the Lord is leading him to have you take over the work here at New Mount Zion. But after hearing about the direction you're taking 9th Street in, he's expressed some concern. He's been listening to you online, and he's been keeping abreast of your engagements as best he can. He, none of us for that matter, like how things are going. It seems to us that you're leaving the old landmarks and losing your vision. I have a peer person who offered to help me keep the church going after that incident with Pastor Kirby, and we've seen a great increase in attendance," Jonathan said. "A great increase in attendance? But how about a great increase in spiritual maturity? It's okay to have the shouting and rejoicing and hand clapping and dancing, but you don't want to have a full church talking the talk, but not walking the walk." "Thanks for the advice, Dad," Jonathan said. "I'm sure Pastor Richardson will be talking with you before you leave," his father said. "You know, Jonathan," Pastor Richardson said to Jonathan, "sometimes God just blesses us and blesses us and blesses us, and we begin to expect Him to keep blessing us. We begin to presume upon God, and the spirit of pride begins to seep in, and we think God owes us. Then we begin to try to do things in our own strength. Pride and the Holy Spirit cannot live together." Jonathan nodded. "I listened to you preach at the Northeast Pastors Conference in New York, and it lacked the power I'm used to hearing you preach with. There was some power, but not at the degree I'm used to hearing you preach. You might want to listen to the tape. Too many eyes. Go back to the basics. Regain sight of the vision you once had." "Pastor Richardson, I have not lost sight of that vision," Jonathan said. "But you're starting to make it a numbers game and not a soul's game." The wedding went beautifully, and Jonathan and his family headed home late Saturday evening. "Monica, I do not appreciate your going behind my back and discussing our business with your family and my family. I'll let them know what I want them to know," Jonathan said. "What are you talking about?" Monica said. "You went and blabbed your mouth to your parents about how I'm leading the church and how unhappy you are with it, and refusing to cooperate with this great opportunity for greater publicity on television for the church. Lest you haven't figured it out yet, I'm going to lead the church in the direction I feel the Lord is leading me. And you'd better make sure the Lord is the one who's leading you, and not you leading you," Monica said. "I may not be able to put my finger on exactly what the problem is, but I'm rarely wrong when my antenna goes up." Your antenna is all twisted up and has been twisted for some months now. So keep your speculations to yourself. And I do not want you to discuss our family or church matters with either of our families. There you go, not wanting to even receive advice from your own family, who has nothing but your best interests at heart. I know you're beginning to think you're important and the world won't be able to continue on without you. But if you're not careful, you're going to find out the world and your church can do quite well without you. Monica pushed her seat back to a semi-reclining position. If you don't mind, I'm tired and I would like some rest so I can take a nap. Besides, we don't need to be arguing in front of the children. After about 45 minutes of driving in silence, they received a phone call from Monica's father. "Sure, Dad, he's right here," Monica said, handing her cell phone to Jonathan. "Hello, Brother Montague, how's everything going?" Jonathan asked. "Quite well, Jonathan, I tell you. Nothing keeps you busy than preparing to give your daughter away in marriage. I wanted to talk with you before you all left, but I couldn't break away. I'm calling because I am concerned about you and Monica and what's happening up there at 9th Street. Whatever is taking place, don't let it drive a wedge between you and Monica. One thing is a must in the ministry, and that is a husband and his wife must have a tight relationship, otherwise the devil will take advantage. I don't see Monica and myself distancing ourselves from each other over the changes being made at the church, but I do thank you for your concern," Jonathan said. "Learn from the fall of other pastors," his father-in-law said. "We love you both and you're in our prayers. Remember, a weakness for women and a love of money are not the only things Satan uses to bring a pastor down." "Thank you, Brother Montague. I'll keep that in mind." Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give him the pen by trusting him with the life he gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how. 1. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." 4. Accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10:9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner, and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. Amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless you until next time.